and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Glad you tuned in to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Matthew chapter 9, verse number 1. Matthew 9, verse number 1. We saw last time where the Lord healed the demoniacs there of Gadara. And it was a manifestation of the Lord, a great manifestation of our Lord's power and ability there. Those two men changed by the Lord, and the sad, sad fact that the people of the region, rather than receiving Jesus, desired Jesus to go away. And I pray that that would not be the desire of your heart, for Jesus to go away. We have so much blessing and prosperity in our land that's the way that many think about the Lord. I just want Jesus to go away. Or they kind of think, I want religion to go away. And understand, religion is not a savior or salvation, but there is a way of obedience of the Lord. And when we, that obedience, that following, that submission, that repentance, that faith, could be referred to as a religion. A following and obedience is really what it is. And do you want Jesus to just go away? Is it more convenient for Jesus to go away? I pray that you would see you need Jesus to come near. And you need to draw near unto the Lord Jesus through repentance of your sins and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It says here in Matthew 9, verse 1, and he, Jesus, entered into a ship and passed over from there the land of the Gergesenes, and came into his own city, and that would be Capernaum. And behold, they brought him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And so here we have another wonderful account in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, how it was that he was there in a place, in a house there in the city, teaching. And the people were so packed and pressed against the house, all around the windows, all around the doorways. Seemingly, if we understand it right, the Pharisees, maybe Sadducees, the religious leaders of the city are there in the house, gathered around Jesus, and just nobody can come close. And these one that have this man, their neighbor, their kin, their loved one, that he's sick of the palsy. He cannot move. They have to carry him on the bed to keep him comfortable. They bring him to this house that he might be healed of the Lord Jesus. And what they find is they just cannot get through this place to the Lord Jesus Christ through all the crowd with their loved one, with their friend, with their neighbor. They just cannot get to him carrying him. These four men want to bring, a desire to bring their loved one to Jesus, and they are obstructed by the people. And how that is so much. We are obstructed by the people. Oh, Lord, help us that we wouldn't worry about what men think, but that we would be most concerned with what our Lord thinks about us and our behavior and our walk with him. So what do? They said, we know how to get him in front of Jesus. And we notice the urgency that they have, not willing to wait for the crowd to disperse, but they want to get him in front of Jesus now. They know that Jesus can heal him now. They know that the Lord can deliver him from this plague of this palsy now. And so what do? Do they wait? Do they wait for the crowd to disperse? Do they wait for this session to end and then plead the Lord Jesus on behalf of their friend? No. They go up on the rooftop and they begin to dismantle the roof of this house that they might let their loved one, their friend, down in the midst in front of Jesus. You know, we read this so fast, and this in combination with other telling of this account in the Gospels, we read through it so fast that we just don't slow down to think about the detail of that. Do you realize they took the roof off of another person's house? Do you realize that when they would begin to take the mud, the thatch, the whatever was used for that roofing, that there would be grit and grime and debris that would fall through down to those below? Would it even fall down unto where Jesus is sitting there? Because they're going to drop him down in the midst of where Jesus is. They're going to drop him down into the heart of this meeting. These men hoist this fellow up on that roof. They then go to work dismantling the roof. No doubt they are committed to put the roof back. And then when they get it opened up and everybody inside the room is looking up to this hole that has manifested itself in the roof, they're looking up and they see these four men. No doubt there are those, maybe the house owner is down there in the room with Jesus looking up and say, what are these fellows doing to my roof? And he's yelling up to them, and there's this commotion that takes place. The discussion that's at hand down there in the room where Jesus is gets put on hold. The house owner is yelling up there, what are you guys doing tearing apart my roof? What's that all about? What are you doing there? Hey, quit that. And they begin to declare, we've got to do this. We've got to get our loved one, our friend, our brother, our kin, our father, whoever he is. We've got to get him in front of Jesus. We know Jesus can heal him. This just doesn't happen in a vacuum. These people are talking back and forth. What about my roof? The house owner says. So we'll put it back for you. We'll put it back for you better than it was. We'll put it back for you. And then it comes to the time they lower the man down on his bed. They lower him down right there in front of Jesus on his bed. And I wonder what the expression of the Lord Jesus is on his face as he sees the faith of these men lowering down their loved one. They have great love for the one that they're delivering to be in front of Jesus, and they have great confidence in Jesus and what he can do for their loved one. And so it says, they brought him a man sick of the palsy there in verse 2, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, he saw their faith in him, not their faith in themselves, but their faith in him. And he says, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. The Lord saves the man right there on the spot. And Brother Jim, that's not what they brought him for. He's got the palsy. He's got the palsy. Why would Jesus talk and deal with his sins? Because even the man in his palsy, that's the greatest need that he has, is the forgiveness of his sins, the salvation of his soul, the rescue of him. His soul before the Lord, and the Lord saves him. He gives him what those four men don't understand that he needs the most. He gives him that first. Listen to what it says. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. That's what they're thinking. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, I tell you what, we could camp out there for a while. The Lord knows your thoughts. Yes, he knows your thoughts. He knows those things that are done in secret, that are done in the dark, that are done in the midst of the night. Our Lord knows the thoughts of men, women, boys, and girls. He knows the blasphemy of our heart. This man here, the scribe, accuses the Lord of blasphemy. And the Lord, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? He says, it's evil that you think in your hearts. The Lord is not a blasphemer of the word of God. The Lord is not a blasphemer of God. The Lord Jesus is God, come in the flesh. And he knows the priority. He knows the greatest need, and he's met it for this man. Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Verse 5, for whether is easier, to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise and walk. They want to bring the man. They have brought the man that he might be healed. But which is easier? Which is easier? As it's said in another portion of the scripture relaying to us the account of this time here, this account that we're looking at, this event. They say in their hearts, who can forsake give sins but God only? And see, that is the point. That is the point, that only God can forgive sins. And the Lord Jesus says unto him, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." He gives him what he needs the most. He says, "Fellas, why are you thinking evil in your hearts? What's easier, to tell a man his sins are forgiven or to say for him to get up and walk?" I tell you what, the hardest is to forgive sins. It cannot be done amongst mankind. I cannot pay, I cannot get forgiven one of my transgressions against my God. Not one, much less the rest of them. But the Lord is a forgiver of sins. The Lord Jesus is the payer of sins for his children. So he asked him, he said, "Which is easier? They've come for healing. I've given him what he's needed, and you think it's blasphemy. Which is easier?" He's done the harder. He's done the most difficult. But listen to this verse. It's key. And if you get nothing else out of this message in this portion, please get this. "But that ye may know," verse 6, "but that ye may know that the Son of Man," that is Jesus, God the Son, come down in the flesh, "but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," then saith he to the sick of the palsy, he turns to him, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house." Listen, folks, the Lord tells us that the reason for his miracles that he did during the time of his ministry, just like he did for this man, is to show us that he has the power to save your soul, to forgive you of your sins. "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." We're sinners, we need our sins forgiven, and Jesus is the one that can do it. Because he's the one that paid the price, and he's the one that can pay and administer the price. You and I need him. You need him. And you know what the fellow did? Jesus says, "Arise, take up your bed, and go into thine house." He said, "I'm going to heal him of his palsy, that you all may know that I have the power to forgive sins." Verse 7, "And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men." And praise God for it. Praise God for a Savior that can, the Savior that can do something, and can give a sinner peace, and can give a sinner forgiveness, and give a sinner everlasting life through what he has done. Not anything that we have done, but what he has done. These men had faith that the Lord Jesus could do it, and can do it. And you know what? He did it. He did it indeed. I often wonder about this fella. Once he got home, because he obeyed the Lord, he pops up, gets his bed under his arm, and takes off through the door. They're clearing out in the doorway there in the house and letting him outside, and the crowd's splitting open, and he's running. No doubt he's running home. Wonder when he got home what he did. Wonder when he got home what did he do. I tell you what, I don't know. I can't tell you from the scriptures, but people touched and saved by the Lord, no doubt he returned to be with his Savior. He dropped down through his bed in the bedroom there and then hustled on back to where the Lord Jesus was and is. Well, I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. You need him. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.